Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
Hello and welcome along to Travels Through a Kingdom. It's myself, Kaya Flynn, with you until 7 o'clock this evening, and I do hope I find you all in very good spirits. How are you keeping? How was your week? Tell me all about it. We've already had 1 week into August already, and where did the summer go? I know it's technically autumn now, if you're going by the calendar, but it is still kind of summer in my eyes. And we have another 2 weeks of good weather. I'm in the summer clothes again for another day of it. But I have plenty of jumpers to keep you warm for winter as well. So when that happens, July for me went in the blink of an eye. As you know, my show was last week was pre-recorded as I went to the Kerry Ladies match, which they were against Meath. And I just want to say a massive well done to the girls and how proud they should be for getting so far in the matches and to get to the final as well. And there was plenty of support in Croke Park for them, which was a really nice thing to see as well. We also went to the homecoming in Castle Island and Clarny, and despite the bad weather, they had a tremendous support out there as well for them, and they even took the time to sign some of their fans' jerseys and flags too, so it was brilliant. And Elaine Kinsella, our own Elaine, was emceeing the homecoming in Clarny as well. And there was a lovely vibe and there was a good crack and it was all laughing. And we live streamed it here on Facebook as well on our Radio Kerry one if you want to have a check out on that. And it was very nice because everyone was just full of giggles and everything. You know, everyone just had good spirits and that's all that mattered at the end of the day. And in saying that too, while I was up at the game, I met a group of lovely people and I cannot remember for the life of me where they said they were from, but they said their niece Aisling was playing and they had come up to support her. And I just wanted to say hello to them tonight if they are listening, because they said they tune into Travels Through a Kingdom. So hello to all of you, and if you're listening, send me in a text message so I can remember where you're from again. Our text lines are the usual and our WhatsApps too, so that's 083 300 3300, or you can send me an email at any stage, kflynn@radiokerry.ie. Now, before I mention what is going on tonight's show, I just wanted to mention a few comments I got regarding the Little Samfire Lighthouse documentary that aired last week. Christina O'Shea Scanlon from Camp got in touch to say, "Hi, loving listening to your programme about Phoenix Lighthouse. I grew up right beside Derrymore Beach and spent my life looking across at Phoenix Lighthouse, and to this day I absolutely love lighthouses. I went to school in Derry Quay National School, and I remember our principal and teacher Ed O'Brien took us out on a very memorable school tour to Phoenix Lighthouse. We absolutely loved it. Well done on a lovely show this evening, and thank you very much for taking the time to write that message to us, Christina." And it's a lovely story and lovely memories to have as well regarding that as well. And M.O. Sullivan got in touch to say, "Brilliant programme on Phoenix Lighthouse, so interesting." And if you want to listen back to that documentary that was aired last week here on Travels Through a Kingdom, it is on our podcast section. So check up on radiokerry.ie, and if you search Travels Through a Kingdom, it should pop up there. And again, a big thank you to everyone that contributed to last week's documentary. Now, coming up on tonight's show, we have a bit of music and the crack. Owen O'Galvin joined me during the week to tell me how excited he is to be heading up to the Fla Ceoladh Héireann in Mullingar, playing his Boron. We hear some music from Anne-Marie O'Riordan with her new single, "Do You Hear the Robin Sing?" And always, we have the archive of Sean Hurley. But first on tonight's show, it's time for Puck. Puck Fair was a big part of my family as we grew up, and it's apparently where my grandparents met all those years ago, and where we would go to buy most of the randomest bits of items, between soccer balls and stickers for the walls and everything like that, which tore off some of the paint in my own bedroom. But we never expected it not to happen for 3 years, and like a lot of people, don't understand why we crown a goat and how important this festival is to Killorgan and the people. So I met with Declan Mangan, Declan Falvey, Geraldine O'Sullivan, Caroline Murphy and her daughter Alicia Williams, and their PRO Marcella, to tell us all about what Puck Fair is.
Puck Fair is a lifetime of memories, atmosphere, enjoyment, organisation, fun, crack, highlights, lowlights, the lot. I think Puck Fair is very special to the people of Killorglan, because it's so unique. It's the only place in the world where we crown a goat as king, and the people elect the goat, and people come from all over the world to see that they can't believe that we're doing it, but we are doing it. It's been going on for at least 400 years. The first time it's mentioned in history books is 1613, when King James I gave a charter to the local landlord, Jenkin Conway, gave him permission to charge tolls at the fair. But I think it's going on long before that. It's probably a pagan festival marking the start of Lunasa. There was four great festivals in pagan time. There was Imbolg in February, there was Beulten in May, Lunasa and Samhain with autumn. And Pugfair marked the start of the autumn. And it's probably going on since then. But we don't care how long it's going on. The important thing is it's still going on.
Just to mention, Dion, it gets overlooked an awful lot. And I was talking to Marcella, our PR person for 2022, is that Pugfair, we take it for granted. And you ask young people, maybe Alicia, the Queen, wouldn't have known before this year that Puck means a male goat. And Declan says, we crown a goat. We don't just crown a goat, we crown a wild mountain goat. He's taken from the wilds of the McGillicuddy Rakes, and he is wild. And because he is wild, he needs to be tamed, and he needs to be relaxed. So he's caught well in advance, so that he gets used to the procedures over the 3 days of Puck.
Mm-hmm, that he's relaxed and whatnot.
He's relaxed, yeah.
What's it like catching him? Is it hard?
Well, the goat catcher isn't here at the moment, so we can't speak for him. He has a method for catching him, I suppose, to make sure that he's trapped safely and not harmed, does any harm to the goat. And he just kind of corrals him, I'd say. Maybe he's a group of people, farmers who live in the vicinity, and they go, goat hunting, goat viewing, and when they see a fine specimen, they manage somehow to corral him in and bring him down, say, into, say, captivity in some respects on the farm, where he's well looked after and fed the best of stuff that's suitable for a goat to eat. And we'll advise, of course, by our chief goat veterinary officer, who happens to be Paddy O'Shea, the vet.
The goats are wild, because years ago we had a Swedish television crew. They wanted to film the capturing of the goat, and we had located a herd of goats up in the mountains, and they were there the night before, and the crew arrived the following morning, no sign of the goats. They spent about 4 hours in the mountains before they were able to find them again. So they are wild.
Obviously, you grow your whole life seeing Pugfair every year. What's it been like?
Busy, huge effort with everybody in preparation for it. The week of Puck and trying to get everything in, but once it starts, then it's smooth sailing.
Mm-hmm. And that's obviously a big deal for your family, obviously, you having the Starlight Diner right in the centre of town. Have you any memories of that?
I saw my first Puck when I was 12 years old. For 2 weeks before Puck and the week of Puck, we were always shipped out of town to my grandparents in Bardove. So I was 12 when I saw the first Puck and didn't realise what was happening, and I haven't left Puck since. part of the package now with Puck. Yeah, so we'd done 50 years in business. We celebrated in April. Mm-hmm. Sadly, we lost my father in October. Mm-hmm. And he would be very proud.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Very proud.
Very good. And you have your little daughter here who's going to be Queen of Puck. What's your first name?
Alicia Williams.
Alicia, what's it like to be Queen of Puck this year?
It's amazing. Putting on the dress is just like a fire of excitement. And walking around the town crowning the goat is going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Are you excited?
Very excited.
What do your roles include now for this year?
My roles include saying a speech up in the stand in 6 different languages and crowning the goat.
Oh wow, and what languages are they?
Irish, English, German, French, Spanish and Polish.
Oh wow, how did you learn those?
Google.
Marcella, tell us your roles here for the Pugfair.
I guess I'll just be shepherding the press around on the actual day of Pugfair, just to keep them from trying to climb up the stand and be next to the goat, because that would be a big problem for insurance. And then just trying to keep everybody informed of what's happening this year, keep the press informed, because it's going to be kind of a historic Pugfair this year. We have the Sam Maguire is going to be in the Puck Parade for the first time in history. Normally, wow, the All-Ireland is one in September. This year is one early. So for the first time in history, we'll have the Sam Maguire.
What can we expect for the 3 days of Puck this year? Obviously, a big 3-year absence, so we're expecting big things.
Yeah, there's been a real build-up of excitement. You can kind of see that around Killorglin right now. It's like Christmas time, you know. People are coming back to Killorglin, people who have been away, people are out decorating, putting out signs. Everybody is pitching in. That's the amazing thing about Puck. Everybody in town has a little job to do, you know. People have baked us Puck cakes, people have cleaned up signs for us. we're on the hunt for things that have gone missing because we haven't had puck in 3 years. So, like, everybody in town is just really excited, and it is going to be the best puck ever.
And obviously with Puck Fair, a lot of it is volunteers as well. So have you have a good commitment of people helping out this year?
Yeah, there is a real community spirit in Clorglan around Puck Fair. Everybody will do something. We got people baking puck cakes for us. We have people cleaning up banners, hanging up lights, helping us track down things that we lost because we haven't had puck in 3 years. And we always store things around, you know, different businesses in town, or people have things stored in their sheds or whatever. So, yeah, there's a real effort. There's a real buzz around town. Everybody is out in the streets putting up signs, getting ready. It's like Christmas. It's nearly like Puck Fair is like our version of Mardi Gras or something, you know. So it hasn't happened in 3 years, so there's a real buzz.
Journey, am I come over to yourself?
Of course, yeah.
What's your role with Puck Fair?
I suppose I've no official title. we're not very pompous. And I'm involved, I suppose, from, I think it's my third decade with two Declans. We started back in 1989, I suppose.
Fourth decade.
I don't know my age. I suppose back thinking about it recently, just 1989, because one of the Queens actually produced a picture here one night. She was Queen of Puck and now on the committee. And she said her last Puck was 1988, when things had gone really... I suppose downhill. Involvement wasn't great. It was left to a few people. And I remember there was a big public meeting in town, and it was like, this festival is unique. There is nowhere in the world like it. It's on our doorstep. There are towns and villages around Ireland creating festivals every year, trying to get people home, trying to create momentum, trying to get businesses, you know, a bit of a high intake of cash. And here we have Puck Fair, and it's falling apart. And we were the two Declans, myself, and I think 10 were roped in with a big debt, no money, didn't know where to start, and through hard, hard work over the years have built it up to this amazing festival. And I think we can just be very proud as a committee that it's where it is now, because it doesn't happen, as Marcella says, it doesn't happen overnight. We work hard from early spring, weekly meetings, behind the scenes. You know, we don't have an office space. The office is in my house. There's phones ringing like at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, there's emails coming in all the time. But we rally through as a team, and we've become great friends through the years. And we all have our jobs, but yet everybody helps everybody, which is a big thing.
Mm-hmm. And obviously Puck Fair helps the whole community with businesses, mm-hmm. shops, pubs, whatnot. So I'm assuming a lot of people do get involved and supported in that sense.
Exactly. And I suppose on a positive side, like, I would never have thought, I've never missed a puck yet. I was born and raised in the town, and from the age of 3, I have all the memories of Puck Fair, and I wouldn't be anywhere else on those 3 days. Even if someone gave me one way ticket anywhere, no way, I'm staying in Puck. Never missed it. I think it's like, you never missed a puck yet. But I suppose I never thought it wouldn't happen. And I remember when, in 2020, when we were told, you know, obviously guidelines are in place, it was a shock. It was a really big shock that no one ever expected in the history books that puck wouldn't happen. And then last year was even harder to take, because we really thought we were back after a year, and we had hoped and hoped that it would happen. So I think people realised it. You know, there was an expectation, oh, it's just like it happens every year. But then when it didn't happen, I think people realised the impact it had in the town, and even not even the businesses, on the social side of it, like people coming home, yeah. Meeting up with friends, school friends that you probably don't see from one end of the year, because Christmas weather isn't tend to be, you know, as good as in the summertime, and as brighter evenings and that. And for me, going down the street, you know, you meet people that I know their first names, I know roughly what county they are, I don't know the last names, but I expect to see them at the same place every puck. And that was kind of hard, walking down the streets when the town was there, no stand up. It was always there. It was a vision always on the 10th of August. The Puck Fair stand was up. It wasn't up for 2 years. So I think people rallied around this year more, and the support's been great to us, the community. And we've asked for people who have come and helped out. And we've had volunteers. Well, we put out a pledge. People have volunteered to help us out, give a few hours. That's all we need. Mm-hmm. We don't expect someone to be 12 hours on the street, but at the peak times when we need bodies to help out or just do a job for us, there are people rallying around to do it. So it's great.
And I suppose something personally for my own self is, when I think of Puck Fair, I think of Gemma's hot dogs.
Oh. And she's back. With Avengers, yeah. And there are things like that you don't see, you get for the tree. And there's other little, I suppose, businesses that convert from what they're doing to provide a service. And yeah, there's hot dogs. So yeah. Big shout out. We'll be there every night. Once the concert's on, we run up the street to get the hot dog.
Very good. And Declan, obviously, you being in the centre of town as well, running a pub here, what's it like? What's the chaos like with Puck Fair for the 3 days?
It's not too bad. It used to be kind of worse when I was smaller, like, because that time pubs were open for 72 hours. And that changed in 1971, when there were objections to the licence, and it was reduced to 4 o'clock. And now it's a very what shall I say, civilised 3 o'clock each morning. So it's pretty chaotic. Yeah, the lead up to it, as Caroline said in the starlight, the lead up to it is worse than, anticipation is worse than participation. Once you get into it, you're up and running. You know, the adrenaline kicks in and you get going. So it's the day or two before it, and when the nerves are hitting, you're wondering, is everything in place, both from a business perspective and from the Puck Fair organising committee perspective. So it's kind of pretty chaotic now, because I'm kind of involved in the committee. My good wife, Breda, does most of the background work here and organising staff rosters and keeping the show on the road, So it's good, it's a great feeling. And just want to, Geraldine said she's involved 3 or 4 decades. For those who don't know, Declan has been involved for about 9 decades in Puck Fair now, and I've been involved for about 7 decades. So he has enough fingers in one hand to count how many decades involved. There's lots of stories. Like when Geraldine said, when I was young, about 3 or 4, I was shipped, like Caroline, because we were of no use only coming away here. I was shipped back down to school, my mother's home country, for about 2 or 3 weeks, and I have great memories of that. And when I was teaching in Scullvilla, I used to recount to the kids how I used to have to go back the road for 2 buckets of water to the well to bring it back. And of course they thought I was living back in the years of Jimmy and Vara High, going back to the turn of the century. And it was quite true, and it was a great experience and a great memory to come back to the house and after 2 weeks, and it felt like I'd been in the Costa del Sol for about 3 months, and I felt the house was painted and everything was brand new. Then of course when we got old enough to do something useful, we were employed as glass collectors or bottle washers, or doing something useful around the house. It was pretty chaotic.
Earning your pocket money for the bazaar dinner.
Correct. As I was talking to somebody recently, the puck money. He was telling me, Sean McCartney, he's from Limerick, who gives me a hand out in the street with my street traders group. There's Lisa Kirkwood, there's Library Place, and I have a posse of about 7 fellas who corral the patrol, the town element of it itself. But he was telling me that, he was telling his now grown-up sons, who are about 21, 22, that he said, don't forget the puck money, lads. And they said, what do you mean the puck money, Dad? Well, the puck money, remember when you were small, you all got puck money because you went to your aunts and uncles and they all gave you money. And he says, now it's your turn to give the puck money. You could see their faces dropping. The shoe was now on the other foot, having to give rather than take.
Didn't even expect it.
Yeah, correct.
Very good.
Yeah.
And Declan, finally, one question, and a lot of people who aren't from around the Mid-Kerry area don't understand, why is Puck Fair always the 10th, 11th and 12th?
Well, historically, the 1st of August, the local saint was St. Lawrence, and that's how Killoglan maybe got the name Killorcan. And they usually in a fair, the patron fair is the patron saint's fair, and that was the 1st of August. When the calendar changed and the 10 days were added on, it became the 11th of August, and so that was the St. Lawrence's festival. And so there was a gathering for the day before the fair and a scattering for the day after, and that's the 10th, 11th and 12th. But Puck Fair has worldwide impact. Years ago there was the girl that was Puck Fair, her father had been a cadet in the army, and fellas who were trained with him were out in the Lebanon, and 2 days after Puck he got in the post a picture, probably a week after Puck, a picture of the front page of the newspaper in the Yemen, and it was a picture of his daughter crowning the goat.
That's a lovely image to have.
Isn't it? And years ago during the foot and mouth was probably the biggest crisis we had in recent times, and we only got permission to get the go ahead to have the goat from the Department of Agriculture, but we were warned that we had to isolate the goat. So we built a special goat mobile.
And not the pork mobile.
The goat was all encased in perspex, and all the staff, all the people had white suits. And apart from the health and safety, it was a fantastic publicity thing.
Very good. You were making it a thing before it became a thing, really.
It's like a sci-fi movie.
And those were the voices of Declan Mangan, Declan Falvey, Geraldine O'Sullivan, Caroline Murphy and her daughter Alicia Williams, and Marcella O'Connor, whom I met with yesterday to tell me all about Puck Fair, which is back bigger than ever this year, this August even, 10th, 11th and 12th. And we'll be out there too to get the atmosphere and whatnot as well. And Declan also mentioned as well that there is a GoFundMe page for all these festivals and stuff like that. So if you want to check that out and donate, you can go on to www.puckfair.ie or their Facebook page as well. Have you any Puck Fair memories that you'd like to share with us here on Travels to a Kingdom? I actually have a good one about Gemma's hot dogs, and I was going to mention it, but a couple of years ago I had a friend and she was a vegetarian, but when it came to the 3 days of Puck Fair, she well, when Gemma's hot dogs came out, Gemma's it only comes out for Puck Fair, as you mentioned there in the interview just there with the lads, but when it came to Gemma's hot dogs, she wasn't a vegetarian for that. But after that, then once they went away, until another year's time, she was a vegetarian for the whole 363 days of the year. Very good. So do get in touch with us here on Travels Through a Kingdom. We're on 083 300 3300 on text and WhatsApp. We'll have more on Travels Through a Kingdom after these.
Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
And you're very welcome back to tonight's Travels to a Kingdom, and I do hope I find you well. Speaking of Sam Maguire as well, in our latest interview about Puck Fair, I met Sam Maguire today for the first time ever. It was kind of on my to-do list for the summer now that we have him, thank God. And he was down there in Austin Stacks Park. I'm talking about him now as if he's a natural person, but I'm even putting a gender on it. But he was down in Austin Stacks Park for the Ballyduff versus Causeway game there, and got a picture with him. But he made me actually look really small, so it was kind of funny in that sense. But yeah, it's great, and it's great that people are actually getting to touch it and whatnot and getting pictures with it, because it's been 8 years obviously since we've had it. I think the last time I remember seeing it, I was in primary school, and we were doing like a calendar thing for, you know, parents and whatnot. But I missed the day that Sam Maguire was in, so they photoshopped me into a picture with Sam Maguire. And so, yeah, there are just some of the memories. But yeah, nice to see him now that I'm in my 20s. So, yeah. Now, the beautiful Anne-Marie O'Riordan released a new song this week called Do You Hear the Robin Sing? And I'm delighted to say I have it here on Travels Through a Kingdom, and we're going to play it for you now. A song from Anne-Marie O'Riordan, and we look forward to hearing more of her new music very soon as well. Now, this week there was plenty of excitement in Mullingar as the Fleadh Chéile na hÉireann went underway, and a lot of people from Kerry went up to show their musical talent and dancing. I had the privilege to speak to Owen O'Galvin during the week as he was due to go up and playing the Boron, and I found out Owen Og has come third in the competition, so a big congrats to him. And we have a Facebook video as well of a short snippet of our interview and Owen playing his music as well. So well done to him. So let's have a listen to our chat that we had during the week and his tune as well.
Hi, my name is Owen Og. I'm 10 years old and I'm from Fionnuala, County Kerry.
Owen Og, what do you play?
I played the boron, the tin whistle, the flute, the concertina and the drums.
How did you get into all of those?
My sister.
Wait, how did she teach you?
She didn't teach me, she just plays a lot of instruments, so I started them.
Which is your favourite to play?
Boron.
Okay, and how long have you been playing the boron?
6 years, I think.
Okay, very good. And how did it start? It's a lot of people think the boron is easy, it's just like tapping a drum, but it's not just like that, is it?
No.
Where did you begin with?
I got a boron for Christmas and then I just went into lessons.
Mm-hmm, very good. And what kind of tunes do you like playing on it?
My favourite tunes are jigs.
Okay. And where would you start playing them?
I play them like in sessions, like in the flower course, and like when I do really just practice by myself.
Mm-hmm. And you're obviously involved with the Lixnaculturs as well. Tell us a bit about that.
I do the group you call the Cayley Band. I like know most of the people there. It's really good crack because we can like the Cayley Band's very, very good, and the group you call is good as well. And it's very good fun to be able to make it to the Monsters in it.
Mm-hmm. You obviously have a lot of friends from there as well. What do they play?
There's flutes, concertinas, accordions, melodeons, pianos, more borons, there's tin whistles, there's like every instrument.
Mm-hmm. And besides your sister obviously playing music in your family as well, does it come from anyone else in your family?
No.
Oh wow, so it really came from the scratch.
Yeah.
very good. And what do your parents and your grandparents and the rest of your family think of it?
I don't know what they think. I think they're happy about it, like.
Mm-hmm. A lovely pastime. And is there anything in the future that you'd like to do with music?
I love to nearly teach a bit of boron as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And have you ever tried teaching any of your friends how to play it?
Yes, a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed with your boron, you have the stick in it. I thought it looked like a load of chopsticks put together. How come it looks like that?
Because when you hit it, then all the sticks like hit against each other, so it makes like nearly a rattling sound.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Is the boron that you have here today, is that the one that you got from the first time, or have you had a few since?
Oh, I got my first boron was for Christmas, but that one was like only 3 or 4 months mm-hmm. old. Like,
and do you find there's any difference playing with different borons?
Yes.
Okay, what's that like?
Number one, it sounds better. It's like smoother. It's just better to play with overall.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Now you're going up to the Fáilceolna hearing this weekend. How excited are you?
Nervous and like extremely, extremely excited.
Okay.
Like it's a completely new thing.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been before?
I have been in like Lixna Fesches and a couple of things, but this is my first Fla.
Mm-hmm. And what are you hoping to do there? And you're obviously performing on the Saturday. So tell us a bit about that.
I'm performing at 1 o'clock and I'm the last person to play.
Mm-hmm. And what will you be performing?
I'll be playing my jig and a reel and on the boron.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be doing it with your teacher, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, and how's that going? Have you been pairing up together?
Practicing? Yeah, like once or twice a week, every week.
Mm-hmm. And what have people been saying to you since you got picked?
Like, well done, but that's like not many people know yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You'll obviously meet a load of musicians up there as well. Is there anyone in particular that you'd love to meet?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
And would you have any role models in the sense of musicians?
I love like a couple of the modern like musicians, but not really in trad. Maybe the Young Dubliners are nice, and maybe a couple of the other ones, like Luke, what's his second name? Luke. I can't remember his second name, but like mm-hmm. he has loads of different ones as well.
Mm-hmm. And when coming from that as well, you obviously have a few jigs and reels that you perform, but is there any that you listen to that you're trying to learn as well?
I pick a tune, then I'd learn it. Like, I wouldn't really know what, like, I'd pick a tune, I'd learn it. There's no tunes I want to learn. I just learn them if I wanted to learn them mm-hmm, straight mm-hmm. away.
And you don't feel like it's a chore, it's like school where you have to learn it. You just absolutely enjoy learning.
I just enjoy it.
Very good. And is there any more instruments that you're going to take up, or do you have too many to count on at the moment?
I want to do guitar as well.
Oh, very good. And what kind of guitar?
Just normal guitars. Like, I can play a bit by myself from just like YouTube tutorials and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it.
Very good. And what's the support like in Lixnaw?
It's class. Everyone's saying well done. Like, we got presented with our medals today. Everyone was clapping, or not today, but like a couple of days ago, everyone was clapping for like the Cayley Band and Groupie Calls. It was very good.
Very good. But listen, Ono, we're going to wish you the best of luck. I can't wait to hear the result of it. This will be obviously played out on Sunday, so we'll definitely know by then how you go. But best of luck, and thank you so much for chatting to us here on Travels Through Kingdom.
Thank you.
Was 10-year-old Owen Og Galvin from Lixnaw Cultus, and a massive congratulations to him again for coming third place. A big bright future for him, and a big thank you to his mother as well, who came in. It was all arranged very short notice, so they had no problem coming in, and there was full of enthusiasm as well. But what a bright young boy he is, and he has a big future ahead of him, especially with music. So much music to learn from, even to learn the guitar from scratch on YouTube. I couldn't do it. I just have to say it, I couldn't do it. But you know what, fair play to him, he can definitely do it as well. Now, Owen Og was also speaking of Luke Kelly on our interview as well. We discussed it afterwards, and just for Owen Og and for coming into third place, we're going to play some Luke Kelly on Raglan Road for you.
On Raglan Road of an autumn day, I saw her first and knew that her dark hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue. I saw the danger and I passed along the enchanted way, and I said, let grief be a fallen leaf at the dawning of the day. On Grafton Street in November, we tripped lightly along the ledge of a deep ravine where can be seen the worth of passion's pledge. The Queen of Hearts still making tart, and I'm not making hay. Oh, I loved too much, and by such is happiness thrown away. I gave her gift of the mind, I gave her the secret sign that's known to the eye.
have known the true gods of sound and stone, and word and tint without stint. I gave her poems to say with her own name there and her own dark hair like clouds over fields of May. On a quiet street where old ghosts meet, I see her walking now. Away from me so hurriedly, my reason must allow that I had loved not as I should a creature made of clay. When the age the play he'd lose his wings at the dawn of day.
Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.
And you're very welcome back to this evening's Travels Through a Kingdom with myself, Kaya Flynn, with you until 7 o'clock. Now it's time for the final part of Travels Through a Kingdom, and this is where we go back in time with the archive of Sean Hurley. And this week's piece is when Sean speaks to local historians of Ratmore, John O'Sullivan and Bridie Dineen.
Back in the 1800s in Kerry, there were desperate times, like in many other parts of Ireland. People suffered in many ways and clung on to whatever they possessed, just to remain alive. Be it accommodation or land. They lived through those terrible times, including locals being hanged. In the Ratmore region, it was the very, very same. Local historian John O'Sullivan and Bridie Dineen from the area now recalls for us the situation for one family, the Dineens.
It was a time of great poverty, and in particular with regard to the Dineen family. Grandfather of Matthew Dineen was hanged in Tralee Jail.
What was the background to that?
A big white by disturbance locally in 1822. Mm-hmm. And five local men were accused of the murder of William Brereton, who was protecting the mail coach going from Tralee to Cork. 2 years later, another man, not from Ratmore, was also hanged for the same incident. But it was against that background of poverty and strife that the people around here lived. And the hanging of Matthew Sullivan in Tralee would have happened about a year or two before Matthew Dineen, Father Dineen's father, was born.
Now, you mentioned white boys there. Describe to our younger listeners what they were.
The white boys were widespread over a lot of the south of Ireland for about 60 years, maybe. But it reached a high point in 1822 in this part of the world, not just here in Slieve Lochra, but over towards Macroom, for example. And thousands of them came out at that time. They were concerned because the landlords were tending to ignore tenants in order to provide wider expanses of land to rear cattle. But white boys were protesting against several things. They protested against paying the payments that had to be paid to the Protestant clergy, the tithes, as they were called. And they also protested a good deal to the amounts being charged by the Catholic clergy for services with regard to the sacraments and so on. But their chief complaints were about the enclosure of land which they wanted to settle in.
Bridie,
they also protested against the high rents because the middlemen were poverty stricken after the famine. This was after the famine now. Then when they had no money, they raised the rent, and any improvements that any tenants made, whether to put in extra windows, whether they improved their land, whether they sent their children to college, they put up the rent for them. And the poor tenants who had very little had to support their lavish lifestyles. They were trying to imitate the landlords and live the type of life that they were living, sending their children abroad to be educated and entertaining a lot.
Matthew, of course, and Mary there, they moved on a number of occasions with their family.
They did. The first time they moved, they had one child. The next time they moved, after a few years, they had three or four children. And as a result, their house was knocked by the middlemen. The landlords were conciliatory, but the middlemen were the people that looked for the most rent from the tenants. Mm-hmm. And as a result of their house being knocked down in Cardinburg, a baby who was a few years old died. A little girl.
Yeah. Now, there was a big family that we'll come to that in a moment, but they moved east, didn't they?
They did. They moved to Cardin then.
The landlords weren't too interested in the eastern half of the county for some reason.
No, they weren't, because it was the land was very poor. It was mostly bog, and it was very marshy and treeless. So, in a commonage, they settled. They built a house in a day again. But later, a better house was built for them by a family from Gutnacluck, which is beyond here. A Crowley family from Gutnacluck.
Yep, they were terrible, terrible years.
And that was some of the archive of Sean Hurley. And I hope you enjoyed that extract as well. But you can always expect the archive of Sean around the same time every week here on Travels Through a Kingdom. And I know a lot of you enjoyed that as well. Now, we got a few comments in from a few people. Anne Rohan. Anne is a very good friend of mine. She said she'll be listening while she's going up Torque Mountain this evening. And what a beautiful day she has for going up to Torque. I haven't done that mountain in ages, but it's a nice, easy climb, nice, steep. But it has the ridges and stuff like that. So it's a handy one to climb up. And Katie got in touch with me as well to say, regarding Puck Fair, she said Puck is so important to her and her family that her mother even waited until the 13th of August to have her win all those years ago as well. And it's a big deal for a lot of people, you know. Puck Fair is very important. The memories that it associates, meeting up with friends, it's gathering, you know, there's the 3 days. I feel like I'm going to get this wrong now. So you have the gathering day. I can't remember what the name of the second day is, but then you have the third day is the scattering day. But they're all big days. I remember, obviously, I went to Puck Fair back in 2019, which was the last one, and I don't remember any of it. So that's the signs of a good puck, they say. And Charles also got in touch to say, I think this whole year is flying, and almost a week of August gone already. I'm enjoying hearing all about Puck and preparations for it, Charles. Thank you, Charles, as always. And that's all we have time for here on Travels Through a Kingdom this week. Remember, if you have missed any show or if you want to listen back to anything, you can do so on the radiokerry.ie website, where you can search up Travels Through a Kingdom and listen back to any week of any episodes and interviews here as well. And you can also listen on Spotify as well, which is very handy. On the go. And if you like us on Spotify as well, you'll be notified when the podcasts go up, which is a handy feature. News at 7 is on the way, and then Elaine Kinsella is up with 7 days, and then Sean Riley is on the way, which is Irish Favourites. So until next week, take care.
You're listening to Travels Through a Kingdom on Radio Kerry with Kaya Flynn.